Peace be with you. I'm Pastor Stephen Jurdy, and this is The Voice of the Shepherd, a 10-minute message brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. Last week, we explored the question, why do we have the church? Today's topic is, why do we have the Bible? Every day across the world, Christians from all different nations use the Bible as part of their daily devotion. Every Sunday, churches read aloud from the Bible, and pastors preach from it. Most people know that the Bible is the holy book of the Christian church, and probably the all-time best seller of any book in history. But why do we have the Bible, and why should we care? Not everyone does care, of course. In recent years, the Bible has become a battleground, both inside and outside of the church. People wonder, why should we even listen to the Bible? Why should the Bible have any authority in my life? Can I even trust what I find in those pages? Once we start asking those questions, we soon discover that many people say the answer is, no, you should not trust the Bible. Every year, right around Christmas and Easter, major media outlets like Time Magazine or the History Channel on cable TV will issue special reports or programs that explore how the biblical message isn't supposedly historically true, or how certain writings were kept out of the Bible by powerful church leaders and politicians trying to oppress the people, or so the stories go. Even in the church, there are those who say that the Bible was too influenced by the times in which it was written to have any relevant word for today. Those kinds of reports and many others all argue that the Bible is so full of human mistakes or so outdated or so political and false that you can't trust it. But the good word for you today is that you can trust the Bible. There is a reason why we have it in the church, a good reason why we use it. And to learn that reason, we must first begin by simply remembering why the Bible even exists. Like everything else in the Christian faith, it all hangs on the message that Jesus is risen from the dead. That message still stands as the most reasonable explanation of what happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and it comes to us with as many eyewitness accounts as any event in the ancient world. By that message, God has created a company of people who trust in Him, a company of people that we call the church. Because the church trusts in that trustworthy message that Jesus is risen, it therefore pays attention to what Jesus said and did. And that leads us into the Bible. Plainly put, we use the Bible because Jesus used the Bible, although he used different parts of it in different ways. First, according to his closest followers, the men who followed Jesus in the time leading up to his crucifixion, and whom we call the disciples or apostles, Jesus used the Old Testament in the course of his teaching. The Old Testament is that part of the Bible that tells us what God did in the years before Jesus was born, how he created the universe and everything in it, and how he eventually chose one nation of people, the people of Israel or the Hebrews, to be his chosen nation. The preachers of that nation, called the prophets, are the people who wrote that Old Testament. They shared the word of God with Israel as he commanded them. Jesus used those writings of the prophets. He quoted Old Testament passages about how God created all things, including man and woman. He also quoted the writings of the law given by God to Israel and the Psalms written by one of Israel's kings, David, and many others. He quoted the writings of the prophets, and he used the same language as the prophets, speaking as God had first spoken to them. So if Jesus used the Old Testament, regarding it as the very Word of God, then the church uses it in that same way as well. It all hangs on him. Second, and in addition to using the Old Testament, Jesus gave us the New Testament. The New Testament has two parts, or at least two basic parts, the Gospels and the Epistles. The Gospels are four books that tell us the life of Jesus, what he did and said through his death and resurrection. They record the actual words of Jesus as well as his actions. Sometimes people say that these Gospels are phony or too old to record the true words of Jesus, but in fact, these four books were written and treated as Holy Scripture while those who knew Jesus were still living. So if we want to know the man risen from the dead, we receive from him all that he said and did, recorded in the Gospels, and we treat those words and actions as coming from God himself. Finally, the other part of the New Testament, the epistles, are letters written by the chief leaders of the early church to the churches that believed in their teaching. Now, here is where people often complain and say, I don't have to listen to those writings. I believe in Jesus, not in his followers. But we need to remember that Jesus authorized those men's teaching and promised, as the Gospels record, he who hears you hears me, and whoever receives the one whom I send receives me. Jesus committed himself to those early church leaders. Their words are his words, by his own authority, and whoever receives that teaching receives Jesus himself. Therefore, we receive both the Gospels and the Epistles, along with the Old Testament, as the holy writings of our God. Again, people will sometimes say, well, the Word of God is perfect, but not the Word of man. That is, they worry that because men had a hand in writing the Scriptures, it may record errors that free us from trusting it. But once more, our Lord Jesus shows the way. He is both God and man. He can turn water into wine and heal the blind. So what is to keep him from speaking clearly through his very human servants? The Word of God always comes to us through human means, for it is with humans that God wishes to speak. That involvement of the human mind, heart, and hand do not keep God from communicating himself clearly. He is able to speak clearly through any means. And so the fact that the Scriptures are written through men does not mean they are untrustworthy. So we have in the Holy Bible a precious treasure, the writings that Jesus used and gave to us as the Word of God, as well as the words that he himself spoke and the writings that he himself authorized. It is all the Word of God, perfect and inspired, a gift of the Holy Spirit, revealing for us his gracious will and saving friendship. Please, friends, pick up that book and read it, praying for God's wisdom, and listen to those who preach and teach from it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your holy word, recorded for us in the Scriptures. Teach us to read, understand, and inwardly digest that holy word, so that it would be for us a blessing each day, leading us to trust in you, to be comforted by your presence, and to follow after you in paths of love and service. For this is your good and gracious will, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. And that's this week's message from The Voice of the Shepherd, a program of Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. I am Pastor Stephen Jurdy, wishing you God's peace.